So many people today are living with chronic stress, pressure. In fact, so much that we're breaking down, we're burning out. And yes, Christians have stress too. The purpose of this message is to help you understand how to turn that stress that we all feel into strength. The pressure that we have in life can actually be powered up to your advantage. Now, some people, they sort of live on stress and like it. I mean, because stress can be exhilarating. Stress can be exciting. The adrenaline gets flowing, and we can even become adrenaline addicts. We love the adrenaline, especially if you're a type A personality like your pastor. I mean, we kind of live on the stress. I once proudly said, you know, I don't get stress, I give stress. I've since changed my mind on that because I do know the impact of stress on my own life. But, you know, there's this excitement. Stress can be a motivator, but it can also be a monster that can take us down and even take us out. And so many people today are under such pressure. They're living under all kinds of pressure. And someone defined stress as that gap that exists between what we must do, what we want to do, which we need to do, and our ability to do it. So that gap is the stress gap. And we often find ourselves overwhelmed. We often find ourselves overloaded in life. We're just carrying too much weight emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. And stress will actually kill you if you keep living this way. All kinds of physical illness, including heart disease and cancer and diabetes and sleeplessness, insomnia, you name it. In fact, I was startled to read this week that about 70 up to maybe even 90% of people who visit their primary care doctor are there ultimately because of stress-related illnesses. Amazing, isn't it? It can impact your body as well as your mind and, of course, your soul. And even if stress doesn't kill you, this chronic stress, this constant pressure in your life, even if it doesn't kill you, it will make your life miserable, robbing you of joy and peace and contentment and even your faith at times. But you don't have to live this way. Isaiah 30, verse 15 is a prescription. It's a go-to verse for me, especially when I find myself stressed. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. He's calling his people to come home to rest. And he said, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. There it is. Underscore that in your Bibles. In quietness and confidence or trust is your strength. He went on to say, but you were unwilling. So the choice is yours. You have a choice to make. Will you find your rest in returning to the Lord and in quietness and confidence turn your stress into strength? Quietness, here's the formula, here's the prescription. Quietness plus trust equals strength. Now, the meaning of quietness here is not just being quiet or silent, but rather it speaks of the cessation of activity. Just stop. Stop all the running around. And God says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. In quietness, God wants his people to stop constantly running from him, running around from him, and to take time to rest the soul. Some Americans were on a safari. And they were pushing every day, like so many Americans, we do that. We're pushing, pushing, pushing. And every day they were up before the sun and going again on this safari and to the end of the day. And on one particular day, several days later, the guides weren't getting up. They were still in the tents. These men said, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And the guides said, no, we don't go today. Because today we let our souls catch up with our bodies. That's good advice. To let your soul catch up with your body. To turn down the RPMs. Because the result of too much movement, too many RPMs, is the wearing down of the body of the soul. Their exhaustion is so common. It's one of the most common things I hear from people today. I'm just so tired. I'm just so exhausted, whatever the cause. And as a result of the exhaustion and the tiredness comes the tenseness and the emotions that are out of control. And often the first thing we want to do when we're feeling this stress is to double down and just try harder, work harder, to work alone. And as that bricklayer found out, that never works. When you're carrying too much weight and holding on to a rope and you don't know what to do with it. So what is the answer? The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that though pressure is all around and the physical man is breaking down, he says the inner person is renewed every single day. The core of you, the character, the center of you can be renewed. Your spirit can be renewed day by day. You can actually in your weakness find strength. That's what he's saying. He said, when I am weak, I am strong. How? By turning that stress into strength. Now, I have two parts to this message today. One is the physical side of turning your stress to strength. And the second part is the spiritual side of turning your stress to strength. So number one, the physical side. There are some things you can do physically to help you turn your stress to strength. One is I'm simply going to call rest, R-E-S-T, rest. Don't discount the power of sleep to replenish and restore your life. Christians who find themselves constantly going, staying up late, burning the midnight oil, getting up early. In fact, the psalmist talked about it in Psalm 127 in verse 2. He said, it is vain that you should rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Ah, isn't that a good thing? Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap or get a good solid night's sleep. Not in church, this isn't time. But to sleep and to rest. And if you will make sure that you're getting enough rest, then you'll find your stress relieved. I know when I am tired, when I am exhausted, that's when I'm the most irritable, the most anxious, the most stressed out. And therefore, I know what I need to do is to get some rest. It's impossible to discount the impact of the physical from the spiritual in our lives. There was a sign in a doctor's office that says, it was a plaque that said, if you wear out the body, if you wear out this body, where will you live? Good question. We are stewards of our bodies. Do you not know that your body, the scripture says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. Take care of your body. Your body belongs to God. And that includes the proper rest. Paul said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We, your body, is the workmanship of God. It is a precious treasure from God. And what and how can you do the good works that God wants us all to do if our bodies are worn out and wasted from too much stress, too much pressure? and too little rest. I'm determined to take care of my body that I can keep serving God faithfully as long as I live. So rest. Can say a lot about that. But the second thing is, here we go, regular exercise. And not just the exercise of your body, which is so important, but the exercise of your brain. Did you know that when you exercise, when you are moving, physically moving, it is not only strengthening your body, but it is strengthening your brain. It is helping your brain. Dr. Kenneth Cooper, who is my personal physician, a longtime member of this church, recognized the need years ago in his inaugural book, Aerobics, that we need to exercise the body and the mind in order to combat what he called or described as oxygen deprivation. Therefore, aerobic means breath or with air. And so the idea was to move your body and your cardiovascular system in order that you would get more air. And when that happens, the training effect takes place and is called aerobic conditioning. Now, what happens to the body physically when we move it improves everything. It's a proven fact. It improves work, sleep, attitude, and energy. It's almost counterintuitive that if we exercise, you can certainly exercise too much, but it seems counterintuitive that if we exercise, we're doing all this exercise, we're wearing ourselves out more. No, exercise properly done can strengthen the body as well as the mind. On the contrary, contrast to that, when we are lazy or laying around and not moving around, we just slowly die. We deteriorate more rapidly. It's just a gradual decline down, 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 down. I can tell you this, that when I get regular exercise and rest, as noted earlier, it reduces the stress in my life greatly. So what you need to do is find something that you enjoy, exercise that you enjoy. So, well, I can't think of one thing, an exercise that I would enjoy. Well, you do need prayer. That's coming up later. But you can find something. And guys, that doesn't mean just riding around in a golf cart. That's an activity. That's not exercise. It's a little bit of exercise. But whether it's walking or whether it's running or cycling or swimming or weightlifting, it's conditioning, getting your heart rate up at the right speed and so on. Racket sports of various kinds, which I enjoy. Whatever it is, find something you enjoy and do it consistently. Because fitness, as Dr. Cooper says, is not a destination, it's a journey. And the fact is, you can turn your life around even in your latter years. Some of you haven't exercised maybe your entire life all that much, but did you know you can improve as you age in life? You can improve the strength of your life as well as the length of your life. God's in control of the length of our lives, but the fact is, I exercise to assist in the quality of life, and I believe it truly does. But then the third thing is relaxation. It's important to take breaks because the constant pushing requires that we take time out to replenish. This can be many breaks during the day, what I call little blessing breaks, just to take time out. Sometimes, again, a little short nap early in the afternoon, if you can do it, helps. But find activities, hobbies that you enjoy. Golf or hunting. Hunting is a hobby. It's not exercise all that much. You guys love to hunt, and gals. Or wholesome entertainment, or fun things that you do. We call them pastimes. And you say, well, I don't have time to pass time. I don't have time for pastimes. Well, hear this. You're never wasting time when you stop to sharpen the axe. Waiting time, resting time is not wasted time. And here it is. A change of pace or a change of place equals a change of perspective. You know, God, for example, gives us one day a week that's called a day of rest. It's the Lord's Day. We worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And we can't short circuit that command. God knows how we are made, and we're not made to work every day or push every day. There's something about getting in a place with God's people that will change our perspective in life. That's one of the reasons I hope you come to worship God on the Lord's Day, because the pressures of life, the demands of life require that we take time out to rest and to relax. And you can do that in the presence of the Lord. I tell you, I never feel guilty when I rest in order to be stronger to do what God has called me to do. One of the problems people are facing as a result of the coronavirus pandemic is mental health crisis, as well as a physical crisis. And anxiety and loneliness and loss and depression and so many other kinds of struggles that people face. You know, it's good to take care of ourselves physically, and we should, but we also need to take care of ourselves mentally and emotionally and, of course, spiritually. So this series, Help, is all about that. It's about confronting the issues that we all face in our lives, whether we're talking about loneliness or grief or stress or anxiety, depression, addiction. That's what this series is about. And so I felt the Lord leading me not only to preach a series like that, but to produce a book, and it's called Help, Facing the Challenges of Life with Confidence and Hope. This is not a self-help book. This is a book that comes right out of the Word of God, messages that we've delivered on all of these subjects. And I pray that you will let us know of your need. This is a great book that you could give to someone else, because so many people, one out of three or four people in the world right now, are facing some kind of mental health issue. And certainly there's the spiritual issue. And as always, we take people right to Christ, right to His cross and the resurrection and the hope that we have in Jesus. So call us now and give the best gift that you can to Help PowerPoint Ministry. And as our way of saying thanks and helping you, we're going to send you the book, Help. So that brings me to my second point, the second part of this message, which is the spiritual side of turning stress to strength. Number one. Here's how you do it. This is an exercise. Focus on the Lord. Eyes on the Lord. Someone said, if you look without, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. You look above, and you will be at rest. We cannot control our circumstances, but we can control how we react to those circumstances. And if you want to live a controlled, calm, and collected life at ease and relaxed in everything, then put everything in your life in God's hands. That's what it means to look to the Lord. Often we look to others for help, or look to ourselves for help, or we look online for help. We're running around trying to fix things. But God says, take your eyes off your problems. Get them on me. Eyes on the Lord. Eyes on Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We're told in the Scriptures that when we put our eyes on the Lord, who is the author and finisher of our faith, He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him, for his soul trusts in Him. Spending time alone with God is essential if you want to turn your stress to strength. People try all kinds of methods and medications, drugs, alcohol, gambling, anything else that they think may help relieve or numb their situation. None of that stuff works apart from the power of Jesus Christ in your life. So eyes on the Lord. Secondly, knees on the floor. Knees on the floor. The way up is down, down on your knees. Prayer is essential therapy for dealing with stress in your life. I'm reminded of the story of David. when David and his mighty men returned from battle, they discovered that their village was burned to the ground by enemies. And along with that, not only were their houses burned down, but their wives and their children were taken by these brutal enemies into captivity. And as a result, David was distressed, of course. He was devastated, and so were all these men. And it tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 4 what happened next. David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. You ever been there? Just cried your eyes out, you had no more tears left. You wept until you couldn't weep anymore. That's catastrophic stress. So what did David do? Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Oh, that's great. Now they're thinking about blaming David for the loss of the community, because all the people were bitter in soul. We're going to bring a message on bitterness later. But watch what David did. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That means he got alone with God, and he got on his probably his face, and he cried out to God in his distress, and he prayed. And he trusted in God. And as a result, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's that word courage in encouragement. There's strength. It's a very strong word. So he strengthened himself in the Lord. And you can do that as well. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. Christ is alive in you. And this power, the power of the resurrection, works to strengthen us. When we get on our knees and when we pray, when we're carrying incredible stress day after day, the old song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Pray every day. I mean, I have a little acrostic that I've taught you in the past, P-A-C-E. You got to set the pace for your day, because many of us, our schedules are out of control, so you've set your pace, P-A-C-E, every day. You praise the Lord. You accept from Him, A, His blessings. You receive from Him all that He desires to give, the filling of His Spirit. You commit your life, your schedule, your day to the Lord, and then you embrace the day and expect God to do good things in your life. That sets the pace for every day, P-A-C-E, praise, acceptance, commitment, and expectation. So get your eyes on the Lord, get your knees on the floor, and get your nose in the book. The word confidence there, trust, flows out of a trust in God. God's word feeds and fortifies our faith and strengthens our soul. It will put steel in your soul. When Isaiah 30 verse 15 speaks of quietness and confidence, the confidence comes in our confidence in God's word. God speaks to us and strengthens us through the principles and the precepts and the promises of His word. And I can't tell you how many times I have turned to the scripture to find a promise from God that strengthens me under great stress. So you know your Bible and you read your Bible, and psychology can help, therapy can help, medicines can help at times, properly given and diagnosed. Science can assist us, but only God can make and keep promises that are never broken. So you can trust Him. Promises like, they that hope in the Lord, wait in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Yes, God turns our stress to strength when we get our nose in the book and stay there. And we memorize and meditate upon the scriptures, because meditation is better than medication for giving you peace in your soul. And then lastly, lift your hands high. Eyes on the Lord, knees on the floor, nose in the book, and hands in the air. This is an exercise of worship and surrender of your life to the Lord. Stress comes when we resist the will of God for our life. Stress comes when we're out of bounds of the will of God for our life. Sometimes when we're in it, there's stress. So what is the response? Not worry, but worship. As we offer our lives, our hearts, our hands to Him, the Scripture says men ought always to pray, lifting up holy hands. Just read the Psalms. The Psalms are often filled with petitions, cries, heartache, heartbreak. The psalmist is so honest and transparent, and yet out of the flow of his worship, he turns his stress to strength. He says in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, that morning and evening, he just praises God for his steadfast love. Let this be the pattern of praise in your life, because praising God morning, noon, and night will crush the stress that attacks you every single day. And you will live a happy life and a holy life and, God willing, a healthy life. But it begins when you say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't handle the pressure any longer. I can't keep fighting in my own strength. But Lord, I come to you. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you. And when we do, we get our eyes on him, our knees on the floor. When we pray, the pressure turns to peace. As you may be aware, 1 in 4 people are dealing with the bondage of mental or emotional health crisis. Whether it is depression, anxiety, grief, loneliness, shame, 1 in 3 people are going through the chaos of substance abuse and misuse. And 100% of people in our communities will encounter someone in crisis throughout their lives. That's why I felt God calling me to write a book on topics like fear, stress, depression, loneliness, because God throws us a lifeline of help to anyone who will take hold. And I want to send you a copy of the book, Help, Facing Life's Challenges with Confidence and Hope today. Help offers you biblical wisdom, and everything is built not on human psychology, but the Word of God, biblical wisdom for a life free of bondage. So call or go online to jackgraham.org and request your copy today. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping PowerPoint proclaim the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus till the whole world hears.